Y'all know the name.
Brown skin, your body smelling like cinnamon, hair in the bun, your toes done so feminine, heard you suck your teeth like, oh no, hit me up again, let me get your name so I can be more genuine, no need to front, the kid knows you got many friends, many mans, who waiting to stake a claim on it, put they name down just to spit some game on it, well fuck trends, I'm trying to set the mode, you know, go at you hard like most records that sold, spitting propaganda at you till you break down and fold, you look confused, Miss Thane, like I'm speaking in code, 7664, press pound, hello, are you listening now, did I get your attention undivided, because you used to be undecided, now you looking flux like those chicks with they nose stuck up, just put your number down girl, what the fuck,
hey yo, yo that's alright girl, whatever you say, 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 yo that's alright girl, whatever you say, 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 don't worry about it girl, whatever you say, whatever you say, whatever you say, whatever you say, okay, alright, whatever you say, 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 whatever you say.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Straight Talks Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Wicked song. Love this song. By Little Brother, produced by Ninth Wonder. Remix of Whatever You Say. I still love this track. I was going through my music and I came across it and I was like, yo, that has to be an intro song. Nice. Anyways, like I said, welcome to episode 16 of the Straight Talks Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the Syracuse University suspension from the NCAA. We're also going to be talking about, believe it or not, another issue that I'm having with a company here in Canada. Well, actually, they're worldwide, but just the ridiculous nature of this beef is, well, you'll hear it later. It's just absolutely crazy to me how a company can operate like this, but we'll talk about that in the second half of the podcast, and we'll also do our weekly album review. We'll actually get back into doing that. I know I've missed it. I think the last two episodes, I don't think we've done one, so we'll get back into doing that. As usual, you can get to us on the website, www.straighttalks.com. That's STR, the number 8-TALKS.com. You can also reach us on Twitter, the @ Straight Talks, just the same way as it's spelled on the website, STR, the number 8-TALKS, all one word. You can also subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. There's also a number of ways you can get the podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast as well. You can download it without subscribing as well through the on the website. Each website episode has its own player, so you can play it directly from the website as well. There's also a Straight Talks forum where you can discuss topics that I've discussed on this podcast. You can start your own threads, make your own posts, do whatever you like. It's our community. We can do whatever we want. Just ask that you respect other people in it and respect the forum as well. So, that being said, we're going to get right into the first topic, which is the Syracuse University. Stay tuned. Oh boy. NCAA at it again. NCAA at it again. Just, it's almost like if you wanted to suspend teams for academic violation, drug violation, booster giving money to team players violations, you can book every team in the damn Division One. Every team in Division One. I can't say every. I'd say 97% to 99% of them you could book. Give me a break. I don't know how they pick and choose who gets suspended, but or who gets sanctions levied against them, but it's ridiculous. And I'm not a Syracuse backer or anything like that. I actually know a couple of guys that went to Syracuse and played soccer there. But other than that, I'm not a Syracuse backer. Couldn't care less. But I just don't know how the NCAA picks and chooses who they investigate. But anyways, that's not even... that's a totally different subject for a totally different day. And a couple of podcasts, I talked about the Ontario government being like the mafia. Wow. Well, the NCAA is a close second. So anyways, for those of you that didn't hear, Syracuse University, the Orangemen, yes, that's Syracuse University where Carmelo Anthony won a championship with. They were suspended. Well, actually, they weren't suspended, but the coach, Jim Boeheim, was suspended for 9 conference games for next season. The school also lose 3 basketball scholarships per year for the next 4 years, which also extends to the football team, I believe, as well. Basketball team can't participate in postseason play this season, which was actually Syracuse University actually put that suspension in. It wasn't from the NCAA. Syracuse University actually told the basketball team, you're not going. So they're also, the basketball program is going to lose 100 wins, but they're going to keep their 0-3 championship, which doesn't make sense to me. If you're going all the way back to 2002 or 2001 and they won the championship in 2003, how can you let them keep it? But it's NCAA again, right? They can do whatever they want. And I believe they got a $1 million fine, which is a joke to me anyway. It's like normal guys like us getting a $10 fine. So say, yeah, okay, here. $1 million to Syracuse University is nothing. They probably make that up in T-shirt sales. If you go to the Carrier Dome, everyone in there is wearing orange. Every T-shirt's $15. Come on. Sweatshirts and, you know, all the merchandise that you see even around Toronto in sports stores. Orange, Syracuse, and things like that. So the $1 million, they'll make that up in half a season. Even with the football team, they'll make that up in half a season. So $1 million fine isn't really anything to them, which is a joke. But this all stems back from, well, they say it's been going on for about eight years. Well, an 8-year span between 2001 and 2009. They said that Syracuse wasn't following written procedures that they had in place for positive drug tests. And actually, the athletic director and the coach, Jim Boeheim, admitted that they weren't following the procedures. They were charged with academic support members posing as athletes to professors through email. I'm sure it happens at every university that has a good sports team. But what really brought this whole thing to light was an actual player by the name of Fab Melo. And we're not talking about Carmelo Anthony. We're talking about a player whose name is Fab Melo, last name M-E-L-O. I can't reiterate this enough. Not Carmelo Anthony. Not Melo from the Knicks. It's another guy named Fat Melo, a Brazilian-born basketball player. He was playing throughout the season, playing well throughout the season. The whole team was playing well. I think they were undefeated while he was playing. And this is for the year 2012. Syracuse University, I believe they were undefeated going into the last half of the season. And Fat Melo was a big part of that team. He was the guy, the shot blocker. He was the big body in the middle. You know, no, he was the intimidator, altering shots, scoring as well. Dion Waiters was actually on that team. He now plays for the OKC Thunder, who played for the Cleveland Cavaliers until he was traded this past trade deadline, actually. But he was the main man on the team. And then it was found out that he didn't make enough progress towards his degree academically. So I guess he failed a bunch of courses, and I don't know exactly how it works. I went to a D1 school, and I know you had to keep a certain grade point average in order to play. And when you declared your major, you had to make sure that you took the course that you needed to get your degree in the major that you chose. So if you fail, for me it was economics. If you fail an economics class, then it counts towards your grade point average and all of that to see if you can play. But if you take a bunch of bird courses and fail all your economic courses, you still won't be able to play because you haven't made enough progress towards your degree. And this is what happened with Fab Melo. So Syracuse University is looking at that like, well, I mean, what do we do? I mean, we should suspend him, but yeah, we're undefeated. This guy's the main man. We're going to win an NCAA championship if this keeps going on. What do we do? So they decided to suspend him for the next game, and they lost that game, actually. So now we're in dire straits. Well, now they're in dire straits because 20-game win streak or whatever it was, you take this guy out for one game, and they lost. So Syracuse University, athletic department, provost, all those people, the coaches. Now it's like, okay, we need to do something quickly to get this guy on the court as quick as possible. Because as you can see, without him, we lose. This is where everything starts to hit the fan. So after the loss of the first game, Syracuse Athletic Director Daryl Gross called the meeting. In that meeting, Director of Basketball Operations Sam Kissel was present. Other faculty athletics representatives were there as well. Director of Compliance, the Director of Student Athletic Services, and both the Deputy Directors of Athletics were there as well. He put this meeting together to find a way to get this guy on the court as quick as possible. Because when you're talking about the NCAA championship, you're talking about tons and tons and tons of money. So they went through Fab Mello's transcript, and they decided they were going to debate three of the grades that he was given. Their game was in three, they had another game within like 3 days or whatever. So they were trying to get this guy on the court within those 3 days. Now, so one of Mello's former professors said, listen, I'll give him a chance to rewrite a paper. If he gets a better grade, I'll take away the F he got originally and give him the new grade. If that grade bumps up his grade point average for so he can play, so be it. So they were like, okay, cool. So we got to get this paper done in pretty much 48 hours. So starting at about 11:20 a.m., this paper was started. And it was saved on the Director of Basketball Operations, Sam Kissel's computer. And they could tell that it was revised 7 times in 27 hours. I mean, each revision wasn't made by Fab Mello. It was made by either Kissel or his secretary, Deborah Belanger. So it was also noted that the two of them exchanged 7 emails and 3 phone calls during that time. So you guys see where this is going. Fab Mello has no idea. Well, I'm sure he has an idea of what's happening, but the director of basketball operations and his secretary are writing a paper for a player is pretty much what's going on right now. The next day, Mello turned in the 4 or 5 pages, and the professor said, no, it's not adequate because it doesn't include footnotes and citations, where you got the information from and all that stuff. So Fab Mello said, hey, he's not accepting it. Why? Because it doesn't have footnotes and citations. So Kissel and Belanger took the paper back and added the footnotes and citations. So after the changes were made, the paper was submitted, and it was accepted by the professor. He graded it, got a higher grade, and he was eligible to play the next game. Mello had told reporters, no, I was never nervous. I knew the paper was good. I mean, you know, I worked hard on it and da-da-da-da-da, all this nonsense. Now the basketball team has their star player back. And I believe they were playing St. John's, and they went out there and they beat them by 25 or 30 points. And then they took Georgetown, who was number 12 in the country, into overtime and beat them in overtime. So now the team's back on track. And after that Georgetown win, they won 9 in a row, I believe. So now they get a number 1 seed going into the NCAA tournament. Number 1 seed, usually you're going to get to the Elite 8. Barring any upsets, I should say, you probably get yourself into the Sweet 16, if not the Elite 8. But NCAA was like, how did this guy get reinstated within 48 hours of a suspension? And when I say the NCAA, I'm really talking about Duke, North Carolina, Georgetown, Kentucky, all the big schools that make up the NCAA, all the big schools that are the NCAA. I'm sure the NCAA couldn't give a shit that this guy was reinstated, but all the big teams like Duke and Kentucky are probably thinking like, yo, well, how is this guy reinstated? Hey, let's do an investigation. So the NCAA comes into Syracuse and they do an investigation, and they start digging into people's computers, and they realize that someone tried to delete the paper from Sam Kissel's computer. And when the professor heard about what happened, he gave Mello an F. So that F brings his grade point average down, can't play, academic suspension. So that ruled him out of the NCAA tournament. And I think they lost in the Elite 8 to some, I think, Ohio State or something like that. But in the aftermath of all of this, the secretary, Deborah Belanger, was fired. Stan Kissel was reassigned. A bunch of other people were reassigned. The coach, Boeheim, obviously took the brunt of everything because he's the face of the Syracuse basketball team. Daryl Gross still has his job. Still the AD of athletic director of Syracuse. How, I have no idea, since he put this thing in motion. There's also a bunch of other improprieties as well throughout those 8 years where players were being tested positive for drugs and not being suspended. And a booster gave $8,000 to 3 basketball players and 2 football players for working at the YMCA or something like that. So it always comes down to should athletic players be compensated for the play for the school? Since they're making money for the school, should they be compensated? And Jim Boeheim, the coach of the Syracuse Orangemen, said, well, look, they are getting paid. They're getting a $50,000 education. Now, whether they get the degree and do something with it after school, it's up to them. But we're offering them a $50,000 education. So that should be payment enough. And I get where he's coming from, but after school, what do? If you don't come from an affluent family, what do? After school, what do you do on the weekends and in the off season? You want to go to a movie, you want to buy a jeans, you want to do anything that requires a little bit of pocket change, and you don't have it. Teams should get walking around money for sure. Definitely get walking around money, and then divide it up amongst the players. But anyways, again, different subject, different podcast. Like I said earlier, if you don't think that all the big schools are doing this, then you're a fool. If you don't think Duke and North Carolina and Kentucky and Alabama and Ohio State and Michigan and all those schools aren't doing this, you're a fool. You know, it's happening everywhere. And the NCAA knows it's happening everywhere, but they can't suspend everybody. So they turn a blind eye till someone blows the whistle. And I can just see Mike Krzyzewski. You know, I don't know about the Syracuse. You might want to look into that. I don't know. You might want to look into it. How did Famelo get reinstated so quickly? And that's when everything hits the fan. But, you know, like I said, I have no allegiance to Syracuse University. So, whatever. This is just what's in the news. And I'm just giving you the facts about it. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. I told a buddy of mine that used to go to Syracuse. I said, in about 2 years, you'll get those wins back. Those 100 wins that you lost, you'll get them back. You gave a pedophile, I shouldn't say a pedophile, but you gave a coach that aided a pedophile in a cover-up back his wins. I'm sure Jim Boeheim's going to get his wins, get his 100 wins back. Don't worry about it. Some mayor or some congressman out of New York will be up for re-election, and he'll get Jim Boeheim's wins back for him, and he'll get re-elected. So it's a platform for a New York State congressman anyway. But moving on. As I mentioned in the intro, we're going to get back to doing a weekly album review on this podcast. I know I missed the last 2 weeks or so, or week or whatever. So, and we're in the second week of March now, so I've missed a week. Maybe in the last episode for this month, we'll do 2 albums to make up for the week we missed, or something like that. But anyways, the album that we're going to review this week is called The Ecology, and it's by a cat named Fashion, whatever, however you want to pronounce it, but it's Fashion for me. Executive producer on the album is Nasir Jones. For those of you that don't know, that's Nas. He signed this rapper to his label. Enough producers on the album. Exile, The Alchemist, DJ Khalil. A producer's name I love. His name's Quincy Tones. Love that name. I don't know why, but Quincy Tones. Hilarious. And another cat named Joe Caleb. So the first time I ever heard this guy, it was a song called In the Beginning. And the beat was just disgusting. And this guy just got on and ripped the mic. The video is pretty cool as well. I saw it on YouTube. So if you have a chance, search In the Beginning by Fashion, Fashawn, and check that out. That was the first time I ever heard this. And then they said he had an album coming out, so I went ahead and copped it and listened to it. If you're looking at him, he reminds you of Carlton from The Fresh Prince, but he rhymes like Razzcast. So it's a very interesting combination. And this is his second album. His first album was called Boy Meets World. So if you like what you hear, definitely pick this one up and then know that he has another album as well. But he has a whole bunch of mixtapes too, so I'm sure you can find those on different websites as well. So with that being said, and no further ado, let's get straight into it. First song we're going to preview is called Higher, and it's track number 4 off the album. Check it out.
I said y'all wanna get higher. Y'all know we gonna get higher. I said y'all wanna get higher. Y'all know we gotta get higher. Hey, hey, hey. Became a prisoner of people's expectations. Some of my fans are doctors. Even they don't have the patience to wait up while I evolve creatively. I wish there was aid in me. Wanna deal with temptation. Wanna deal with complacency. Wanna deal with the pressure. Wanna deal with this fame. Wanna deal with the power. Want strong enough for the pain. Wanna hold my umbrella to shelter me from the rain. Wanna be my therapist when thoughts is crowding my brain. I get insomnia, and probably cause I
convince myself that I was not the one scrolling through my Twitter. Stupid niggas, listeners are disloyal, but it make you feel royal and like a slave when they no longer enjoy you, my nigga. That's not high enough. Please, let's take it higher. Headliner, shit, I'm glad I even made the flyer. This game a crucifier, just to make you a martyr. Sometimes I'd rather...
So that's the track Higher, fourth track off the album. Pianos and horns, guys. Put a piano lick and a horn lick in there, and I'll give it a listen. Definitely. Like the track, like the lyrical content as well. Guys, well spoken. Talking about busting caps and keys and cocaine. Only guy I like talking about keys and cocaine is Clips, Malice, and Pusha T. Malice is a preacher now, I think. So that's the only guy I listen to talking about moving keys and flipping cane and all that stuff. But yeah, man, No Guns Bust. I love the lyrics. I love his rhyme style. Like I said, it reminds me of Rascas. But yeah, man. Next song is called Man of the House. It's track number... I guess it's not in order, but it's track number 9. Y'all would rather break me down like Reaper and stuff me into a paper. Temporary reliever.
10/21, day after I turned 21. First LP, album released, again it begun. For the kid without a lid on his tongue who took a shit on the drums and slid out the slums. Ultimately, I had an ultimatum. Smuggle drugs or become someone famous. Truth, I put in work in the booth way before Hannah saw her first tooth, then poof. I blew up, foe, both of us grew up. I tell you, time was rougher than New Buck. Leather, somehow I knew it wouldn't stay that way forever. Long as I showed effort, how could I possibly say I'm good? Especially when my mama's still in the hood and father is unemployed. Despite the lack of dollars, they proud of their little boy. I doubt it would fill the void in everybody's pocket. You probably would get annoyed. That wasn't what I rapped for. First tour, rap for. Grabbed my baggage and I was off. Traveling abroad, had to see it all. Berlin Wall, Taj Mahal. Felt like I knew how to run before I knew how to crawl. Had a burden on my back, the planning on my shoulder. The one simple task, all I had to do was hold it. And I grow, and I grow, and I grow to be the man in the house now, baby. To be the man in the house, baby.
And we grow. This guy is a lyrical genius. Lyrics, man. Lyrics. Finally, right? I mean, we're sitting here waiting through all this garbage that's out there. Guys in love with a Coco and all this bullshit. We finally get a rapper like this, right? And I can listen to this album all day. The beats might not be as banging as the next guy, but I'm a type of guy that I'll listen to what you're saying. And if what you're saying is dope, you can take the beat out and just rhyme on a snare. and I'll listen to it. But yeah, man, this guy's cool. I'm glad I got a chance to review this. We're not done. Got two more songs left. Next song is number 7. It's called The Letter F. And actually, this is probably one of my favorite tracks on the whole album. So check it out.
I think somebody is coming in here now. Let's see who it is.
Because of the next few fragments,
I'd like to introduce myself. I'll be the...
Listen now.
Your Majesty.
Letter F.
The Tsar. Master of the ceremonies. Master of communication.
What would the alphabet be without the F? Or the G when the letters are supreme? I grew up to be the father of my cipher up in seas. My sons and daughters needed diapers. I plant seeds all across the atlas. As far as these rap kids, baby Paul was active. Left a lot of ink on a lot of sheets. Gave birth to a new me every few weeks. Why? Everybody wanna be the F. Please, just be yourself, that's what I suggest. G's, us Christ, the young bucks nice when I clutch mics. Set fire to niggas like stuff pipes. The rugged and rough type. Strutting and scuffed nights. Gutter, but I always had a lust for the lush life. I turn iron to gold like an alchemist. Nigga, there's only one F in the alphabet.
Yeah, man, letter F. Yeah, man. Love this track, so... Yeah, man, the lyrical content I love as well. And, I love the beat. I love how it's like a type of old school 90s type of hip hop vibe. You know, it always, when I hear this song, it always reminds me of Slick Rick. I don't know why. The Children's Story or something like that. But anyway, the last track off the album we're going to listen to is called It's a Good Thing. It features Aloe Black. And it's track number 11.
Tell me, what means the world to you? Your spouse or your house with the gorgeous view? Is it the sand white and the water blue? But your priorities are out of order. True, in an empty pursuit, a profit and respect. Preoccupied, you collect more problems to neglect. Evidently a success and obviously depressed. But the drama, the stress is probably for the best. When will we all start realizing that we're blessed? Excess expectations we accept. Let's make a bet, homie. You stay in debt, don't ya? You take an L while your lady takes the rest. Enough is never enough. We want everything. Like every baby mama want a wedding ring. Why you stuck on this planet? Focus on what's important and try and take nothing for granted. My name.
And that's the last track off the preview. It's track 11. It's called A Good Thing. I love the little, I don't know, it's not salsa or whatever, but that little... That Afro-Cuban beat in the background and the little hook from the woman singing. Aloe Black does the chorus, so hit a banger there for me. But anyways, those are the four tracks that I decided to review. The album is called The Ecology, and it's by a rapper named Fashion. And Fashion runs with a whole bunch of people. He runs with MERS, Evidence from Dilated Peoples, Nas, runs with J. Cole, a little bit of production from Exile and The Alchemist. So just being around guys like J. Cole and Nas and taking a little bit of style from each of them, you're going to have a super rapper. And that's what I think you have here. Anything this guy comes out with next, I'm a cop, because I love this album. And I love it for the lyrical content, not just the beats. Beats are a little bit creative as well, like this one we're in the background right now. But lyrically, this one does it for me. So that's the album review for this week. Like I said, The Ecology by Fashion. Go get it, listen to it, go to the forum, debate. You like it, you dislike it, why you like it, why you don't like it. And we'll definitely get back into doing this on a weekly basis. I enjoy it, actually. So, stay tuned for the last half of the podcast coming up now.
Y'all know the name.
So as mentioned in the intro, Reggie has another beef with a company here in Canada. And to me, this beef is, like I said, ridiculous. It should be a no-brainer for companies, but some companies in this world, or most companies, I guess we could say, see the bottom line as the end-all and be-all, without regard for people's safety. But we'll get into that right now. And the company I'm talking about is Infiniti Canada. For those of you that don't know, Infiniti, popular car brand. I drive one. I drive a G35. It's an 05. It's an older model. Ever since it came out in 2003, that's the car I wanted. And when I wanted it in 2003, it was brand new. There weren't any used ones out there, so I couldn't afford it. So I had to wait. So finally, five years ago, I was able to get my hands on one. I drove my last car for about 13 or 14 years. Finally, it had one more repair that I wasn't willing to to pay for, so I decided to look for a new car, and I was able to get my hands on the car I've always wanted. Love driving this car. I mean, when things happen, it's it's a little bit pricey, but thank God for backyard mechanics. Those mechanics on the side that, give me $200 cash and I'll take care of you. Those type of mechanics. Thank God for them. Because I wouldn't be able to afford this car repairs. That's for damn sure. If you go to the dealership, the dealership, and ask for quotes for repairs, it's just like, just buy another car. Like, seriously, if you don't get the warranty, just might as well just buy another car. But anyways, incident happened to me maybe February 2014, in and around there. Like I said, this happened a while back. I'm coming home from a soccer game, indoor soccer game. We play it at 10 o'clock. It's an hour long game. After the game, you talk a little shit with your boys and you leave. So don't get out of that place till about 11:30. Cold as ass outside. It's January, February in Toronto. Cold. So I was like, okay, let's go. Let's get in my car, start my car, start driving. Lucky for me, and I don't know, someone's watching over me. That's for damn sure. But I decided to take the back roads to get home, which is here in Toronto. If you live around here, it's called Highway 7. Those of you that know Highway 7, it doesn't matter what time of the day it is, it's packed. And I think at that time they were building bus lanes, so it was reduced to one lane, and it was crazy. So I thought, you know what, let me take the back roads home. Avoid all the traffic. It's an extra 5 minutes on the trip, but at least you're not sitting around in traffic. Get to a light. I have to make a left. So I get to the light, start to make the left. Car starts to jerk. Jerk, jerk, jerk. Won't go. I'm like, what the hell is going on? What is happening now? So finally I hit the gas and it goes. It goes a little bit. And as soon as I clear the intersection, it starts to jerk again. Jerk, jerk, jerk. What the hell's going on here? Looking at the battery indicator in the car, it's fine. Look at the gas. I got a half a tank of gas. What the hell's going on here? What's going on with this car? So I drive another 5 minutes, thinking, okay, maybe it was just something out of the blue. Another 5 minutes down the road, jerk, jerk, jerk. Cross an intersection. Was able to get through an intersection. Then I pulled over. Jerking in an intersection. Luckily, it was, like I said, 11:30, 11:45 on a Monday night. Not that many cars out there. Lucky. So I get to the side of the road. I pull over and I stop. And I'm like, I'm not a mechanic. I'm not going to lift the hood and look around like I know what I'm doing. So I'm just like, what the hell is that? So I'm sitting in the car. I turn the car off. I'm sitting in the car like, what the hell happened? So I try to start the car again. It won't start. It can't be the battery. Battery's fine. I mean, what's going on here? So I call a buddy of mine. And he's just like, oh, sounds like you don't have any gas. I'm like, what are you talking about? I have a tank, man. Half a tank of gas. I know I have half a tank of gas. And you know why I know I have a half a tank of gas? Because I always look at the indicator. Every time, I have a habit, every time I get to a red light, or if I'm making a turn, at a left-hand turn, and I got to wait, I always look at the gas. It's just a habit. It's not for anything. It's just, I look at the gas gauge. I don't know why. And I must have looked at it 3 or 4 times in the 15 minutes. I have half a tank of gas. It's not the gas. I was, oh, I don't know then, man. Where are you? And I told him where I was, and he came by and he came by to help me out. Thank God for that as well, because it was freezing that night. And I don't have CAA. Well, I have CAA now, but I didn't have it back then. So we're talking, and we're like, can't figure it out. Can't start the car. Can't figure it out. And he said, do you have gas? I'm like, dude, I got half a tank, man. I have half a tank of gas. Stop asking me that. Are you sure? I'm like, yeah, I'm sure, man. Okay. He goes, buddy, I don't have time to stand out here all night and do this with you, so I'm not a mechanic either, so either call a tow truck or let's go get some gas and put it in the car and see what happens. I said, fine, let's go get some gas. So I go get a jerry can from the gas station, fill it up, $10 of gas, come back, put the $10 in the car, turn the car starts. And my friend's looking at me like, this guy's a fucking jerk off. We were sitting out here for an hour arguing in minus temperatures. And it's what I told him from the get-go. And I turn to him and I look at him and I go, come look at my car. Look at the gas gauge now. Gas gauge was a quarter tank above half. So we put maybe $10 of gas in. It's now above half. So I had gas in the car. So he's like, man, I don't know, man. Just drive it home and deal with it in the morning. I said, okay. So I go, hey, buddy, do me a favor. Drive with me to the gas station. I got to give back the jerry can. While I'm there, I'll try to fill the car up. He goes, okay. So he follows me to the gas station. We get to the gas station. I get to the pump. I start pumping gas. $10, $20, $30, $40, $50, $60. And I'm like, well, I know $30 is half tank for me. $60 means my tank's empty. And my friend's looking at me. I told you I have no gas. And I go, you saw the indicator. It's half a tank and more. He goes, yeah, I don't know. Maybe your gauge is broken. Here we go. And this is where it all starts. So I'm thinking to myself, I've never driven a car. I don't know anybody who's driven a car where the gas gauge doesn't work. And maybe there's gas gauges out there that, maybe there's gas gauges on some cars that don't work. And that you guys have heard of, I've never heard of a gas gauge. Brakes, shocks, tires, you know, all that stuff. Yeah, sure. I've heard of that stuff breaking down. But the gas gauge? Never. Never heard of that. So I call Infinity, Markham Infinity. I live in Markham, suburb of Toronto. They're called Markham Infinity. I call them the next day and I said, look, this is what happened to me yesterday. And I explained the story to them. And he goes, yeah, it's probably the fuel sensor. The fuel float sensor. There's two of them in that car. One of them is probably faulty. I said, okay, how much? He goes, well, the part alone is $231. And then it's 2.5 hours labor at $120 per hour to put it in for you. It's like, yeah, okay. Is there something online that I can look at and do this myself? He goes, yeah, it's pretty easy, actually. You just got to remove the back seat. And when someone's telling you stuff and you're just, I got to take out the back seat. Oh, fuck, you know what? Just give it to the dealership to do it. And it's when I started to do the calculations and, you know, it's going to be almost $1,000. So I said, you know what? When it gets a little bit warmer, I'll take a look at it. Here starts to get a little bit warmer. And mind you, this story is a little bit long, but it comes to a head pretty soon. Take out the back. I go on YouTube, tell you how to take the seat out. It's so easy. It's two clips underneath the seat. You just snap the two clips. The back seat just slides right off. Okay, so now I got to go get the part. I got $231. I got to buy two of them because you don't know which one it is. And you can't return it after you use it. So it's like, you know what? Let me search a junkyard around here and see if they have a car like mine. And so I can take the fuel sensors out. No luck. So I go on Kijiji, find some guy who's selling a wreck. And I said, look, do you have the fuel sensors? He goes, yeah, I don't know what those are. And I go, well, if you don't know what they are, you probably still have them in your car. So I went by his place, took the seat out, checked to see if both sensors were there. They were both there. I took them out. Said, how much you want for both of them, bud? Because, dude, I don't even know what the hell they are. Just take them. I was like, solid. See ya. And I left. I left with the both sensors. So now I have the actual fuel pump, a new fuel, well, not a new one, but a fuel pump from this guy's car and both sensors. I'm like, I'm golden. Got them for free. Go home, take out the car, take out the seat again, take out the sensors, change them both, change the fuel pump, everything. Did it all myself. Took about 30 minutes. Beautiful. Start the car. Gauge is perfect. It's a full tank. It's at full. Nice. Drive around for a week. The way I drive around for a week, it should be about a quarter tank left in the gas tank. Should be about a quarter tank of gas there. Drove around for a week. It's at half tank. Like, what the hell is going on here? I know for a fact that it shouldn't be. It's not. There's no way there's a half a tank of gas in there. So I took out the seat again and I actually physically looked at how much gas was in there. And there was no way there was half a tank. There's no way. So I'm like, oh, fuck, man. Did I do this wrong? So I took out everything again. They told me to check it with a multimeter. Because you get the electrical readings and to show me if it's the connectors on the actual fuel sensor, because it's all electrical, right? So I get my multimeter and I put it on, and it's giving me the correct readings that it's working, both sides. So I'm like, what the hell's going on here? Call Markham Infinity again. I say, look, bud. Actually, no, I went there. I said, look, man, change both sensors. Still not working. guys asked me a couple more questions, and I said, yeah, whatever. I gave him whatever the answer he was. He goes, well, then it's probably the cluster that's not, that's faulty. I'm like, what the hell is the cluster? He's like, oh, it's the speedometer and the odometer and all that stuff. It's probably faulty in there. I go, okay, what is it, a fuse? What do I do? How do I fix that? Oh, you got to change the whole cluster. How much is that? $1,400. Just like, oh my God. And you have to get it calibrated for however many kilometers you have on your car right now. Because you can't get a new cluster and say, I have 1 kilometer on it, and then sell it to somebody 5 years from now. Like, it's only, like the engine only has 10,000 kilometers on it. So it has to go out and get calibrated. And they don't do that at Markham Infinity. It has to go to another company to do that. How long does that take? A month. How much is that? $300. It's just like, oh my God. And I'm just looking at the guy and I'm like, don't you think this is a safety issue, that people should know how much gas they have in their car? Because I mean, seriously, if this happened at 11:30 in the morning, I probably would have been T-boned. Oh, well, you got to be careful. You got to look. And it's not about you got to be careful and you got to look. You're expecting your instruments to work. I was so pissed. I didn't want to talk to anybody anymore. And I went first thing in the morning, so I still had to go to work. And I was just like, I was pissed off all day. And I came home and I was like, anything that happens to you, you're not the first guy that it's happened to. Let me go online and see if anyone's had this problem and how they fixed it. And let me tell you, and you guys can test this out yourself. Open up an internet browsing session and type in Infiniti G35 gas gauge issue and see how many pages upon pages upon pages upon pages of people have this problem. I also subscribe to a G35 form. It's called G35 Driver. And I typed in that issue. And it was just, I think there's about 112 pages of people that are just like, I can't believe that this is not a recall. I can't believe that Infiniti's putting people's lives at risk like this. They don't care about this issue. It should be a recall. It should be a recall. And it should be a recall. This is the type of issue that if it happens once, it could be game over for you. It's not like a flat tire or, like I said, struts or brakes or whatever. You know, a wheel bearing. I just changed a wheel bearing the other week. A wheel bearing going, yeah, okay, those are wear and tear parts. I get it. The gas gauge, not knowing how much gas you have in your car, is dangerous.
Danger! Danger!
Picture your wife, girlfriend, kids, sister, mother, niece, nephew, whoever, in a car late at night. The gas gauge says you have half a tank of gas. Your wife, girlfriend, mother, father, sister, nephews, niece, whatever, going through an intersection, car stalls, oncoming car coming. What do you do?
Oh my God.
Danger!
Because this gas gauge says I have half a tank of gas. I don't need to go to the gas station to fill up. Because I have half a tank of gas. And now you're stuck in the middle of an intersection with cars coming at you at 90 kilometers an hour. What would you do? What would happen then? Would Infiniti do something then about it when someone loses their life? Of course they would. But it takes someone to die before they would do something about it. And I'm 100% positive about what I'm saying. Because I have a friend that works at Infiniti. And I called her and I said, hey, look, who do I talk? I don't want to talk to the flunkies at customer service. I want to talk to someone who can actually do something. I want to make sure my voice is heard. Who do I talk to? Give me the email address of the president of Infiniti, please. Because I'm pretty good at finding that stuff. Presidents of BlackBerry, president of PlayStation. I found all these people. It's taken me maybe 3-4 hours to do, but I found their email addresses and I've sent them emails about issues that I've had with other things. And as soon as you hit their email, all of a sudden things start going in motion and things get done. I don't want to talk to the flunkies making $11 an hour sitting in the call center who really doesn't give a shit about what I'm telling him. He's waiting for the shift to get over so he can go smoke weed. And I don't want to talk to that guy. So I called her and I said, look, I know the president's name is Christian Maoyer or whatever the hell his last name is. Give me his email or give me his secretary's email or give me someone's email that's going to show him this email. And she goes to me, oh, well, you know what, Reg, let me call you back. I said, okay. So I get a phone call back 5 minutes later. You know what, Reg, I can't give you that information. I'm like, who'd you ask? I know you had to get off the phone and ask somebody. Who'd you ask? He said, well, I had to ask the regional director for our area. I said, okay, fine. Put him on the phone or give me his email address. Let me call you back. She calls me back. Oh, I can't give out his email either. And I'm like, well, what? I told her the situation. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? And she said, well, he told me to tell you to call customer service. And I'm like, yeah. Didn't I just tell you I'm not going to do that? And she's like, yeah, I know, but This is what he's telling me to tell. So I'm getting the blow off from him. She knows my situation. He should probably explain my situation to him. And he was like, I don't give a shit. Tell him to call there. Because he knows nothing's going to happen out of it. And I wish I remembered his name so I could rip him on the show, but I can't remember his name. So it's just like, if I don't, for the two sensors, it's 231. For the cluster, it's 400. It's 1400, sorry. So all in all, this thing's going to cost me almost $2,000. And then it still has to go out and get calibrated for another $300. And I know the car's kind of a, I mean, I don't, it's not, it's a luxury car. Is it a luxury car? I don't know, but it's 10 years, it's, how old is it? Yeah, it's 10 years old now. So is it still a luxury car? I don't know. But if you can't afford to, if you can't afford the repairs, then you can't afford the car. That's what I always say. But like I said, thank God for my mechanic who's saved me thousands of dollars with this car and has it running nice. But my beef is with Infiniti. And my and Infiniti knows about this issue. They know about the issue. They have to know about the issue. And like I said, I've been on a bunch of forums. Like I said, I belong to G35 Driver, and there's pages and pages and pages and pages of people begging people to sign a petition so we can get this to Consumer Affairs and let these people know that this should be recalled. It's a safety issue and it's dangerous. There's other forums such as 6MT.net as well. Same thing. Pages upon people begging for a recall for this because it's just damn dangerous. And I put my fuel sensor, so I have four fuel sensors here, and I put two of them up on Kijiji, and within 2 days, they were gone. People were like, oh, yeah, you have one? Oh, does it work? Yeah, oh, okay, I need it, I need it. My gas gauge doesn't work. I'm like, this can't be normal. I've never heard of anyone's gas gauge not working, and now I'm just searching for 2 days, and it's like pages of people that need it, and people on Kijiji racing to my house to buy this thing for $60. So I can't get anyone of significance email address to talk to about this. When I call, I get blown off. So the only conclusion I can come up with is that Infiniti doesn't give a shit if whether their drivers live or die. That's what I'm getting from it. In 2013, Infiniti, same Infiniti, recalled the JX, I think 45 SUV for the exact same problem. Fill up the tank, top half of the tank works perfect. As soon as you get to half tank, doesn't register. You don't know how much gas you have. And they recalled that. You know why? Quote, it's dangerous. End quote. Yeah, no shit, it's dangerous. It's dangerous when it's a 2013 car. It's still dangerous when it's a 2005 car. And I know their logic is going to be, well, you've paid for that car already, so, you know, you're on your own. But these cars are within warranty probably, so we're going to fix it for them. But even though you know it's dangerous and people are going to die in your cars, don't give a shit because you got the money already, right? Right. In 2012, they also recalled the M45 model of the car for the exact same issue. And in 2012, they were recalling cars from 2003, 2004 with that issue. I don't know if it takes 8 years for this problem to creep up, but if you're recalling the 2003, 2004 M45, which wasn't a very big seller, so maybe only about, I think they said only about 8,000 people took them up on the offer of the recall. So if they only sold 8,000 of them, I guess, you know, bottom line, the profit loss wouldn't be too much. But the G35, I mean, you could close your eyes and spit and hit a G35 in this city. There's thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of these cars out there, man. You don't know how many people drive the same car that you drive until you get one. And then you realize that these things are a dime a dozen. So if they did a recall on that, I mean, I couldn't imagine how much money they would lose. And that's probably why they don't recall it, because all about the money. But for me, like I said, it's just a safety issue for me. When the tires were, when we were in Toronto like 10 years ago, Firestone was making tires that were blowing up while you were driving, and lawsuits and this and that. And if you had tires from this year, come get new ones. Of course, because it's dangerous. Not knowing how much gas you have in your car is dangerous. Dangerous. So the only way that I don't have the $3,000 that it's, or the $2,000 it's going to cost for me to fix this thing. So the only way that I can keep an eye on this thing is actually set my trip odometer to, every time I fill the tank, I set it to zero. And I don't even know how many liters my tank is, but I don't know how many kilometers I get because this car guzzles gas. So is 500 kilometers full tank? It's 400 kilometers of full tank. It's 450 a full tank? It's 550 a full tank. The only way you're going to know how many kilometers you get on a full tank of gas is to actually fill up your tank and run out of gas. And then you'll know by the odometer how many kilometers you can go on a tank of gas. Or you can do some calculus and figure it out. So I figured to myself, okay, the number of liters and I can fill up, maybe I can get 500 kilometers on a tank of gas. So 250 is half tank. So when I get to 250, I just fill up the rest. And that's what I've been doing for, what, a year and a half now? When I get to 250 kilometers, I fill up the tank. But, and it's lucky that I work from home sometimes and I don't have to drive that far. So when I do go out, I don't have to drive that far. So 250 kilometers might last me a week and a half. But if I were to ever get back into driving to work again, 250 kilometers is probably 2 days. So every 2 days, I got to fill my tank. Interesting. Interesting. Very, very interesting. So that's the story that I wanted to tell you about Infinity. And I don't know. I can't get anybody on the phone to talk about this. And I'm just glad I have the show so I can rant and rave about it. People can hear me. But, and if you have the same issue, I don't know what to tell you. I wish I could tell you to do this, do that, but I don't know what to tell you. And it's so sad that the company doesn't give a shit. It's so sad. And don't get me wrong, I love that car. Fantastic car to drive. I mean, when you need to go, you go. And it looks good. When it's clean, it looks good. And it's I love it. And I would get another one. But I would have got another one, but not now. I wouldn't buy another Infiniti product with your money. I guess it's not a surprise. Most major companies are like that, I guess. But to not be able to talk to anybody of significance is just a slap in the face for me. And everyone just keeps pushing your email on to the next person, to the next person. Oh, I'll send this off to this person. I'll send this off to this person. And you don't hear anything back from anybody. And I wish I had knew that guy's name. I should have called my friend and got all that information before I did the show. But I know the president of Nissan Canada, who's Infiniti's a subsidiary of, is, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but his first name's Christian, and it might be Moy. It's spelled M-E-U-N-I-E-R, so Menier or Menior or whatever, French or whatever, but I don't know. Yeah, disgusting. Disgusting company, and I'm never dealing with them again. I can tell you that right now. I'm going to drive this car into the ground, and when it dies, I'll get something else. So I was staying Infiniti. The next car I was going to get was the actual SUV, the FX, but not now. I can tell you that. Spend my money elsewhere to a company that gives a shit whether I live or die in their car. But anyways, that's my rant on Infiniti. And also, sorry, I keep coming back to stuff. Go to the forums. If you have an Infiniti, go to the forums. Subscribe for a user account for G35 driver or 6MT.net. 6MT.net is mainly for Nissan 350Zs and the G35 coupes, the more of the sports car. I have the sedan, so I'm on the G35 driver. And like I said, it's just, if you just put in gas gauge issue, you'll be sitting there for hours reading all the stories of people that are trying to find a way to fix this thing. And it's not easy. It's not easy without the help of the dealership. And everybody knows who drives a car. If you go to the dealership, you're going to get raped. So there's really no recourse for the fix for us. So I guess like everyone's going to keep on doing what I'm doing and just counting the kilometers on the odometer. Now, if the odometer ever fails, I'm screwed. If the odometer fails, I'm selling this car. I don't know how much I'm going to be able to get for it because we're going to have to fix that. Or then maybe a lawyer will come into will come into effect. But till that time, I guess I got to keep doing what I'm doing. But kudos, Infiniti. Make that money. Make that money. As usual, you can get to us on the podcast at StraightTalks.com. That's STR, the number 8-TALKS.com. It's the website. We also have a form. You can go to the website. You can talk about different episodes that I've put up, and where you can create your own topics. If you want to hear me talk about something or whatever, you can lay all that information down there as well. You can subscribe to us through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. There's also a number of different ways you can subscribe to the podcast. Go to the website. Have a look around. There's also, I think this is episode 16. So Have a listen to the previous episodes as well if you haven't already subscribed. So once again, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
Y'all know the name.
Gray at the bottom of the wall, light brown in the background, 20 stories tall, blue and orange for the welcoming, letters on the drawer, need another can of brown and a yellow for the star, use that for the awning, save some for the morning, put it above the buildings but shade it to show the dawning, white tea corners with blue and whites upon them, brown paper stash and gray sewers support them, purple tops is down, purple pouches a crown, black leather Bibles, gold robes and gowns, green and white dice games, charcoal calibers, silver hops out in burgundy, the parameter, running through burgundy cans, I can't keep one, try painting the high ups, but I can't see none, red and black J.O.'s, hands on the payroll, Steven Strasburg, your curb, let a base load, navy blue rental car, trunk pop, lift it off, black duffel bag, white K's, clear signatures, marathons when the signal's drawn, green Newport boxes can make a finger tuck, no innocence turns to more innocence, painting yay high, see if it grows into it, still trying to find the colors of how the growth looks, black and white marble color notebooks, my graffiti, something like fade, something like days, something like is, something like slave, something like scene, something like Quinones, colors everywhere when I throw this, see that, cry long heavy, I'm heavy on the cans, cry long heavy, I'm heavy on the cans, I be cry long heavy, I'm heavy on the cans, cry long heavy, I'm heavy on the cans.
That was nasty, right? I cocked that joint back and banged on him.